Shut yourself free from the ties that bind. Get yourself clean, have a real good time.
Oh, hey, it's World Cafe. I'm Talia Schlanger, and right now you are hearing my guest Edie Brickell with her band New Bohemians. In the fall, they put out a new album called Rocket. It marked 30 years since their smash hit song What I Am exploded in 1988.
To be honest with you, it was a little bit too much, too soon. I was almost embarrassed by the amount of fame that we had because I felt I hadn't earned it yet.
A couple years later, Edie put the band on the back burner to pursue another dream she had, to raise a family. She married Paul Simon, they had kids, and she didn't want to be out on tour.
I feel like it's a great privilege to get to be with your kids. I'm sure that it's a reaction to the way that I was raised. You know, my mom worked full time.
When it felt right, Edie kept up with her music. She made her own solo albums. She teamed up with Steve Martin for some bluegrass musical adventures that included co-writing a Broadway musical. She also did a bit of work with New Bohemians. At home, Edie and Paul kept their creative lives separate.
Hugs and kisses, and that's it. That's what I've always looked for from him.
Edie's here today to talk about New Bohemians' latest record called Rocket, which rings out with the explosive energy of a band that just loves playing together. Anybody who saw them recently perform at South by Southwest can tell you that. You'll hear my conversation with Edie in a moment, and I have to say, I really appreciated how clear-headed she is and how assured she is about her own life's choices. I mean, so many of us agonize over career, personal life, and she's just navigated it so brilliantly. Anyway, she's coming up in a minute, and we start with a song from Edie Brickell and New Bohemians' new record. This one's called Obvious. That's Obvious by Edie Brickell and New Bohemians off the new album called Rocket. Edie, welcome back to World Cafe.
Hey, thank you.
Happy to have you here. So that song has a lyric that I love. Grinning like a drunken monkey for your banana. Do I have that right?
You got it.
What I love about that is it suggests that your songwriting doesn't necessarily happen on the page first, but happens in the mouth, like the way that you form tumbly sounds. Am I hearing that right? Thank you for noticing that.
Okay. I really appreciate that. Heck yeah. I want to say and sing things that are fun to sing. I noticed that I love a lot of songs from the 40s and 50s, and there's a lot of wordplay, and there's those sonic rhythms that I think are just fun and playful and cool, and I like to incorporate that as much as I can.
Did I read that you learned to play piano in the last few years as well?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, so tell me.
Not very well. Enough to write. Okay. I can write, but I don't feel comfortable performing, but I do love to go to the piano and write because, you know, it offers a broader palette.
Yeah. Did you sit down and have somebody teach you how to play piano, or did you teach yourself based on, you play guitar, you've been a musician for a really long time.
I sat down with our kids' piano teacher a couple of times, and then I went on, you know, YouTube, and I made myself some charts, and then I just hung in there.
Did that change your songwriting, did you find? Or how did it change it?
It just broadened the scope a bit. It made it a lot more fun and I think more musical. Definitely when it came to writing for the musical, it opened up a melodic sensibility. And then playing with New Bohemians when we needed some bridges for certain, like for Obvious, we needed a bridge. I went to the piano, there it was. And for What Makes You Happy, we also needed a change, and I love when there's a big departure in a song, and so I just went to the piano, and it flowed right out. So that makes songwriting a lot more exciting to be able to do that.
Well, let's talk about What Makes You Happy, because it sort of sounds like a mission statement for where the band, where New Bohemians are at right now. So tell me how this...
You got that right, too.
Oh.
You're spot on, Talia. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Edie.
That's definitely the song about the band, and especially the bridge. We have a dream. Everything will come together. I can't wait anymore. Let's do this. We've had to wait a long time to get to tour again and play together, and now is it.
So why is now it? Why did this feel like the right time to do what you have been dreaming about for a while, as you sing about on this song?
Well, my kids are all moved out of the house now. And when they were still living in my house and I was raising my kids, I feel like it's a great privilege to get to be with your kids. I'm sure that it's a reaction to the way that I was raised. You know, my mom worked full time. And I remember being a toddler, and I got in trouble for kicking the daycare lady with my boots, my cowboy boots, and because I wanted to be with my mom. So I thought to myself later, if I ever have kids, I'll have a career first. And then when I have kids, I'm going to stay with them, and I'm going to hug them up every day, and I'm going to get to be with them. And it was the greatest time of my life. It was such a privilege to get to do that. And now that they're grown and they're out, I can go back and tour and play with the band. I kind of abandoned New Bohemians when I got married and moved up to New York. They lived in Texas. And I would play with them every time I went back to Texas. But I couldn't commit to making albums and touring with them, and those guys needed to work. And so we just had to wait.
Jeez. I want to sort of unpack all that and dig back a little bit to the time that you would have, in your words, I guess, abandoned them to go and live the life that you wanted to have. But first, I would just want to play people a little bit of What Makes You Happy, just so that they can feel the joy that you're describing.
Shake yourself free from the ties that bind. Get yourself clean, have a real good time.
That's a bit of What Makes You Happy. That's Edie Brickell and New Bohemians from their new album. It's called Rocket. First of all, you guys started touring together when you were in your late teens, right? You met them when you were in college at a bar in Texas. And that would have been the first time you guys toured. And now you've just gone on tour together as fully grown-ups with children, as you've, in your case, anyway.
Fully grown-up.
Right? Is that fair? Are you fully grown-ups? I don't know.
I don't know if it's fair, but it's funny.
Okay. Well, does it feel, I mean, I would think that it feels a bit different now to be on the road with them, but does it, or how does it?
It does. We feel very comfortable. We feel familial. Mm. We feel, you know, Kenny said it perfectly. Kenny said, we're an older band, but we're not jaded. We're still hungry. Mm. And we still love to play together. And I think it's because of that, you know, time apart and the desire to get to play again. And like I said, every time I went to Texas, I would play with them, or I would fly down and play benefits a lot throughout the years. I even made a record with them, but I found that it was just too hard to keep it going because I didn't want to work as much as they wanted to work when I was driving my kids to school. You know, I wanted to be there. So, now it's an exciting time because everybody's so grateful that we can play together and that we haven't run out of ideas. Every time we get together, we improvise 8, 9, 10 songs. I'm not saying they're all good, but we have the ability to do that, and we love it. Hmm. And we love each other. We have a sense of humor that we've developed throughout the years that's special to us.
Yeah. Can I just say that I really appreciate how clear you are about your decision to take time away, at least from being a touring musician, in order to raise a family, because I think there are so many conflicting messages that women get about what you're supposed to do. Like, you're supposed to put your career first. No, you're supposed to put your family first. No, you're supposed to be able to figure it out and have it all. And I just think it's very wonderful to be as clear as you are. And I'm wondering if there was ever a time when that felt like a fraught decision for you, or has it always been as clear in your mind as you're speaking of it now?
Completely clear. Hmm. I knew exactly what I wanted when I was a little girl about that. And I thought, you know, I wanted to have a career first, and I did that. And it, to be honest with you, it was a little bit too much, too soon. I was almost embarrassed by the amount of fame that we had because I felt I hadn't earned it yet. I felt that there were a lot of other musicians who were much more deserving at that time, and they were better musicians, and we just slipped in and we got all this attention, and I thought that people acted funny around me then after that too. And so I thought, well, I can step away from this easily because it just feels too weird. You know, people who weren't so friendly before suddenly found me very interesting, or people who didn't think I was attractive before. I was kind of a wallflower in high school and college, and suddenly I wasn't. That guys were interested in me, and I thought, there's no way that this is real, you know? So it was a great relief to get away from it and to enjoy my husband and enjoy my kids. And my husband understood all that, too, which was a nice, you know, comfort. And then to have kids. And then when I was walking through the park taking care of my kids, I noticed I was singing all the time. And that music wasn't a fluke for me, but it was indeed a true passion. And so it's good to come back into that now with that sense of clarity.
I imagine the time that you're talking about sort of being embarrassed, it was the word that you used, by the sudden success that you had was around the time of 1988 and around the time of What I Am becoming a really huge hit for your band, for New Bohemians, right?
Yeah. And What I Am, I think it's a fun song, but when you're identified by one song that is a moment in your perspective and in your life, that's also kind of weird to say that, you know, I think and I feel a lot of different ideas, but this is the one that slips through and that people, you know, recognize you for. It's, and I wouldn't even say it's my favorite song on that record. So that's a weird thing to live with too. But it's also a fascinating blessing because it gave me a beautiful career and the opportunity to live my dream and to see the world and to be in a fantastic band.
Right? I mean, and yeah. to even meet your husband and to have the family that you had, right? Like you met him
exactly
when you were performing on Saturday Night Live. Let's just remind people of what I Am sounds like. This is from 1988's debut album by Edie Burkell and New Bohemians. Bit of What I Am. That's the song that we're talking about. What we were talking about in the beginning with words sort of tumbling out of your mouth and that being a signature of yours, you might have mixed feelings, I guess, about the song following you now, but the cleverness of the internal rhyming scheme on that song and the way
Well, thanks for noticing that too. You're really on it.
Oh, thanks. Well, I love music, so I listen to it carefully. But you bring back sound idea, the ideas of sounds and rhyme them in a way that's really sophisticated, and I think is something to be proud of. Anyway,
I appreciate that. Yeah, I mean, I thought it was, you know, I thought it was interesting for a teenage expression for sure. I mean, I don't mean to sound like I'm insulting myself. It's just strange when you're known for only one song, when I love so many different songs and so many different genres. And I don't actually think that is... I think it's fine. I think it's fine. I'm pleased.
You just never know. You never know what's going to catch fire, right?
And I know, it's funny.
Yeah. How did your band find it, and how did your friends find it, like, that all of a sudden you had this celebrity? Were they weird about it?
Everybody was excited. We were very excited to have the opportunities that we had. We were very excited to have the freedom, because, you know, I never traveled growing up. I never went anywhere. So I just moved around Dallas all the time. And our family didn't go on vacations or anything like that. So to get to leave Dallas, to get to leave Texas, to get to see the world and play music was such a beautiful privilege. And I never take that for granted. I'm so thankful. But as I said, it just felt so strange to get all that attention at first like that. And I didn't feel very comfortable, but it's a funny mix of feelings when your dream comes true and it makes you feel scared, like overexposed in the world.
Yeah, who do you lean on at that time?
Well, luckily, you know, I met Paul and he understood all that. And, you know, I'm always close to my mom and my best friends. I can talk to them. So, and then the band, they're like my brothers. They're the sweetest guys. And they're really, really fun. They would have, I'm sure, liked to have kept it going. I think that if they had had a male singer who didn't stop to raise kids, those guys would be, you know, like 10 classic albums strong by now. They're really great.
Do you really feel that way?
Yeah, I think so. I that's why I feel like, you know, I feel for them that they had a female singer. Because with my value system, because then it stopped it pretty abruptly.
Wow. Was it hard for you to say that to them?
Yeah, it was. But I knew, and I always said, I'll come back, I'll do it again. And like I said, every time I went to Texas, I would play with them. But things did change, because when we were young, you know, we were on the road for a year.
Yeah.
And then another year, we were just able to go on the road and not even think about it. No responsibilities except to our jobs and ourselves. That changed dramatically for me.
Yeah.
But you know what's great about it?
Tell me.
That those guys, they went and they had families. And because of my choice, they ended up getting to see their kids and live in the same house with their kids when their kids were little. And now all their kids are grown. And we're all hitting the road again and putting focus on a career. And we all have this remarkable occurrence where when we were young, we had this huge success. We toured. We stopped. We raised families. And now we're going at it again. As opposed to the other scenario where you stay with it. And yeah, you might have a ton of success and all these classic records. But did you get to know your kids when they were little? Did you miss that precious time? Because that's gone.
Edie Brickell is my guest here on World Cafe. She has a new album with Edie Brickell and New Bohemians. It's called Rocket. So you reunited with the band a number of times, as you said, but you made an album together in 2006. And that was, let me get the name, it was called Stranger Things, right?
Yeah, because I met Bryce Goggin, and I thought, when I met Bryce Goggin, he's a producer in Brooklyn, very talented, I thought he would really understand our band, and I got very excited to have him record us. And so just made it happen.
Would you pick out a song from that album that you love and feel really proud of that I should play a little bit of, just to put people in that space?
Stranger Things.
Yeah, let's do it. That's a bit of the title track from 2006's Stranger Things, Edie Brickell and New Bohemians. This is difficult to ask about, so tell me if you don't want to talk about it. But your band went through a real deep tragedy right after recording that album, which is that you lost your keyboard player, Carter. And he was killed in an accidental shooting. For a band that is as close as you guys are with each other and that loves each other as much as you do, I can only imagine how that rocked things. And if you don't want to talk about it, that's okay. But if you do, I want to know how you dealt with that as a band at that time.
Well, it was naturally heartbreaking. Carter made the band great. He made us, you know, so much better in every way, musically, psychologically. He brought a spiritual element that buoyed us all and a great sense of humor. And when he was killed, you know, I took a step back. I thought, that's it. I can't really be in this band anymore. I can't imagine standing on stage and not seeing him to my right. And so I stopped. That's why we've had this really big break, not making any more music. I think we would have made more records if that hadn't happened. But it did. He was just a really, truly special person. And that was just ugly, what happened to him.
Could you feel his presence with you guys in studio this time around? Like, do you look out on stage and sort of feel him with you or think about him?
I do. I think about him, or he comes to mind, or it's almost like he speaks to me sometimes. One time I was walking my dog a few years after he died, and I was conflicted because somebody really kind of hurt my feelings. And I was thinking about it as I was walking my dog. And I heard Carter's voice as if he was walking beside me. And he said, "You don't have to take that." Just out of the blue. And I just loved it. I felt supported and I've had a couple of dreams about him. So yeah, he's there, and I definitely feel his support musically and personally.
Edie Brickell is my guest here on World Cafe. She has a new album with Edie Brickell and New Bohemians. It's called Rocket. So I wanted to ask about two songs on the album that present different sides, I guess, of a relationship song. And the songs I want to talk about together are Superhero versus I Don't Need a Man.
That's so funny, because they do balance each other out, for sure.
So on Superhero, you sing Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, You're the Man, and later, You're My Superhero, Save Me From Myself. So this is a song about really asking somebody to be there for you. And then there's I Don't Need a Man, where you sing about what you say in the title, and you don't need somebody to help you make plans. Are these different relationships, or are they sort of different sides of the same person on a different day?
You know, it's both, really, because I think, I mean, I Don't Need a Man is definitely the idea of asking the one you love to be true. And Superhero, that relates to that kind of relationship, the one that you want, also just being there for you. But I think in terms of this record and this song, it really relates to Kenny Withrow, the guitarist, because I look at him as a kind of a superhero guitar player. And he saves me from my solo career.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Really?
You bet.
Why do you need to be saved from your solo career?
Because it's a lot more fun to play in a band.
Okay.
It's a lot more fun to play with New Bohemians, with my old friends. And, you know, Kenny, it's his validation that got me in the band. He saw something in me that nobody else saw. So he really did save me a long time ago. And again today, when he called a couple of years back and said, "Will you play this benefit?" And I said, "Sure." I was just about to put out a solo record that I had made with Charlie Sexton back in 2012 that had been put on hold while I worked with Steve Martin. And when Kenny called and said, "Play this benefit," I flew down there. And during rehearsals, we made up all these songs and we were laughing so much. And then I went to record, What's interesting, too, is that I went to record I Don't Need a Man, which was my latest new song, and I was going to slide it onto my solo record very quickly.
Huh.
And Charlie Sexton wasn't around to play guitar because he was on the road with Dylan. So I called Kyle Crusham in Austin, and I said, can you, with Charlie's blessings, of course, can you record my new song? I want to put it on our record and sort of update it, that 2012 version. And Kyle said, sure. So I was down there in Texas already. I asked Kenny, why don't you come play the solo on it? So Kenny came, and he played the solo on it. And when I saw Kenny in the studio with Kyle Crusham, and I saw how relaxed and happy Kenny was around Kyle, and what Kyle brought out of Kenny, I thought, oh, just like I thought all those years ago with Bryce Goggin. And I went to Verve, the record company, I said, I'm sorry, I want to put out this record instead.
We all have daydreams and fantasies, wondering what else there is. Did it say rare form of beauty when a man wants what is here? I don't need a man.
That's I Don't Need a Man, Edie Brickell and New Bohemians from the new album. It's called Rocket. I wanted to ask about one of the lyrics on that song. I don't need a man to wipe away my tears and hold my hand. I don't need a man to falsely flatter me and be my fan. So we know, and you've talked about this during our time together, but we know you're married to Paul Simon, who is somebody who also has a career as a musician. And I talk to people who are in relationships with people who do the same thing that they do sometimes. And it's always really interesting to hear about what the wonderful things are about somebody who can share that understanding. Like as you described earlier, when you were going through all this crazy fame early on and you met Paul Simon and he could understand what that felt like. And then there's the other side of it too, where like as a partner, you want somebody to support you and love what you're doing no matter what. And so I just wanted to talk a little bit about that line and what that means that you would look for in a partner who also is a creative person.
Well, I think the great thing about Paul throughout the years is that he's so busy making his music that he's not asking me what I'm doing. People have asked me in interviews over and over from early on, oh, what does he think? Does he help you? Does he give you advice? Paul Simon didn't become Paul Simon by paying attention to what somebody else is doing. He's very focused on his work. He goes to the studio, he works. He comes home, and everything else is pretty domesticated. It's just, I'm making dinner, and it's not like that. It's a funny, but it's good, because then everything is sort of private and peaceful on a creative front. I love that. When I'm collaborating with the band, we can throw ideas around, we can make things up. When I'm at home, when you're a writer, you know from a very early age what kind of writers you like and what it is that you want to express. And nobody can help you do that, you know? And nobody can offer an opinion, actually, that would dissuade you from who you are and what you're drawn to say or feel. And so that's been the blessing of our sort of private nature in our creative lives.
So it's
It's private, and then presumably, like, you share stuff with each other once it's done.
Well, here's the funny thing. Like, years ago, when I first finished the Love Has Come For You with Steve Martin, Paul didn't hear it until it was a CD on the counter and with the cover and everything. Boom, there it was. He would hear it as he was passing by the kitchen if I was singing, because I sang a lot in the kitchen. And he would say, oh, what's that? But he wasn't familiar with any of the material until he heard the finished record. And I was in New York City, and he called me up, and he said, hey, I listened to your record. And I said, yeah, did you like it? And he gave me his opinion, you know? And it felt great. I was very excited. And so immediately I hung up the phone and I called Steve. I said, guess what? Paul heard our record and he loved it. And aww. Steve was thrilled. You know, because Paul is, I mean, he is, I would never show him anything as I'm writing it, because he doesn't like a lot of stuff, and he can be brutal, do you know? Like, again, he didn't get to be Paul Simon for no reason. But I'm not, but I know as a writer from our first record on, I know what I like, and I know what it is that I want to express, and it makes me feel great if he loves it, but I'm not going to seek it out. You know?
That sounds so incredibly healthy. It just sounds so healthy, and it sounds like you can trust. It sounds like it's just a wonderful thing in a relationship, period, to know that you can trust somebody's honesty and that you're this complete person thing that's not looking for something from somebody else. That just sounds like that's the
end. I'm looking for all his hugs and kisses, and that's it. That's what I've always looked for from him.
Give me them hugs and kisses. Well, so I also think it's funny that just as he announced that he's stopping to tour, you're starting up again. I thought that was funny.
I know it's not great timing, but we're still getting our chance. I mean, I'm not touring all year long.
Right.
But I do have to. I mean, I've been standing in the kitchen for 30 years. You know, I did tour one mini tour with New Bohemians when we put out that record, and at Paul's encouragement and everybody's encouragement, you should, even my kids at the time, they said, yeah, go out and play, go and do that. And I realized when I did that, I would not be doing that again. But the Steve Martin, when I worked with Steve Martin, we would go out a week at a time in the summer when my youngest was still in high school and my two older were in college. So I did get out there a little bit. But Paul always knew that this was coming, and he does encourage me. He doesn't want me to just fade away. He knows how much I love to be creative and to write and to express myself. And
so you described sort of tumbling into this new album as New Bohemians, called Rocket, that's just come out this year. And how does the way that it's being received and what this process is compared to what you might have expected things to be like in making a new album with New Bohemians at this stage in the game?
It was more fun than I could ever imagine. Everybody plays so great, and we're recording live in the studios, and I think that captures a joyful energy that we've never caught on tape before. I'm attracted to records where I notice people are playing live, and they're playing together. There's a conversation happening in the music, and it's not perfect. It's not pristine, but you can feel it. And that's the way we're making records now, and everybody, they're good enough players where we can get away with it. And I like to sing live vocals, and they may not always be perfect, but they have a feel and a personality that I respond to.
Edie, before we wrap up, I'd like to ask you to pick a song for us to go out on, maybe from the new record that you feel like captures that spirit. I know they sort of all do.
I think Superhero is great because the band sounds amazing. And I told you the story where it's the band at Kenny. They're saving me from my solo career. And we love each other, and it's so much fun.
Well, it has been so much fun to talk to you today, Edie Brickell. Thank you for being here on World Cafe.
Thank you, Talia. I appreciate your observations and your insight. It's pretty impressive. Aww. I can see now why you slid right into that job. Thank you.
It means a lot to me that you'd say that. Thank you so much. Here we go. This is Superhero.
Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, you're the man. Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, you're the man. You're a real man. You're a real man.
Superhero, Edie Brickell. And New Bohemians, that is from their current album, Rocket, which came out in the fall. My thanks to Edie for being such a wonderful guest on the show. I really enjoyed that conversation. You can check out the album. Maybe you can check them out on the road at some point in the future. I'm Talia Schlanger, and you are listening to The World Cafe.